This is Dental Damnation, and you're listening to Toilet of Hell Radio. I flushed my actual toilet. Yeah, I figured you'd want that since I'm, you know, kind of a presence on Twitter, and I think that could help you gain more notoriety. Thank you.
Joe, you jackass bastard. You son of a bitch. This is Professor Pizza for Max Slasher. I've been hearing a lot about you. Not all of it's been satisfactory. Nazi pig. Well, talk to you later.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Well, hi, everybody. You're listening to another exciting episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. This is your first show. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about heavy metal. We're going to talk about the politics, the culture, the humor to be found in this genre you all know and love. It's all designed to make your commute suck just a little bit less. So hopefully by the end of this hour, you can have arrived safely at your destination and have a nice chuckle at someone's expense. Maybe ours, maybe someone else's. This is your 100th episode. Thanks for sticking with us. If you like what we do here, you want to hear more, you can subscribe to our Patreon, get bonus episodes of at least C-plus quality shows. Those are pretty good. Also, if you like this, you can go on iTunes and rate and review and subscribe and do all those nice things. And then and even better than that is you can tell a buddy. Say like, hey, Chuck, you know, my good friend Chuck, I know you like metal humor and leftist politics and smooth voices, so listen to this podcast, and he'll appreciate it. Anyway, I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, I've got my co-hosts, 365 Days of Horror, and, you know, that guy, Brennicide! How's it going, fellas?
Pretty good, Joe. Another quiet week, you know, doing the thing. Got my pedal board all set up. That was cool.
Nice.
Like, for my tax season, I just I was thinking, well, I should get a new amp, but it's like I have amps, but I don't really have like a big stupid pedal board full of crap to play with. And it's about a billion times more fun. If you're a guitarist, you should invest in pedals. They're way cool.
Amps are by far the most boring piece of equipment you can buy when you know, buying music gear.
It's definitely cabinets.
Yeah,
drumsticks.
Yeah, picks.
Well,
some guys
strings.
Some guys lose it for cabinets,
though. Yeah. Oh, bass amps. Oh, my God. It's the most boring. If it's like the size of a thumbtack and it has 800 watts, it's fine. Just use that one.
Yeah. There's really no other room. It's either get that one or get the Ampeg 8x10 speaker cabinet that's bigger than my refrigerator.
Right. The fridge cab and the 200-pound amp head that goes on top of it.
Yep. My back hurts. Anyway, what have you been up to, Jordan?
It's same old. I do like this time of year because, as you said, people are using their tax money to get themselves nice things. And it's like 11 months out of the year, people are like, capitalism is literally killing people. And then for 1 month, it's I'm getting a fucking boogie board, motherfucker. So
that's what I'm enjoying. Man. Like you eat shit 11 months out of the year. Then you get a little bit back, except for me, because I owe money because I fucking suck. So I'm still firmly anti-capitalism. Capitalism with consumerism on this one, though.
It's a little bit of both, isn't it?
It's a little bit.
I gotta take it back, man. Is a boogie board like a tax return level expense? Do I just not know how expensive boogie boards
are?
Well,
the reason why I said boogie board is because it's fun to say boogie board. But also, I remember years ago working at like some shitty data entry like farm with just hundreds of cubicles and people typing all day. I remember the girl across from me was so excited to get her tax return so she can go to Red Lobster. So a boogie board is like totally in that level of spending money, which I think a lot of America does stuff with their tax return.
Sure. Those cheddar biscuits are fucking tight though.
Agreed. And here's the thing, like, how often does your average American get a windfall of, like, a couple hundred dollars? Like, once a year, pretty much. Like, other than that, everything's an unexpected expense. Everything, you're just eating shit. So you get a little bit of dough, yeah, and you're like, woo, blowing money fast.
Or you owe it.
Yeah, or in my case, you owe it.
Right. Now, do you do your own, like, TurboTax, or do you go to someone?
Yeah, I do my own. I use TurboTax. I pay $50 for a computer program to tell me what to do because I'm too stupid to do it on my own.
See, I go with a CPA just for, like, the mental, like, feeling better that, okay, someone who knows what they're doing is handling my money, so I'm more than willing to spend an extra, like, $100 for it.
Yeah, that's fair. This would not be the first time that I've owed taxes or that I've, if I do this wrong, which I'm considering doing, have been hit with a massive penalty for unpaid taxes. So maybe I should see a CPA.
Maybe, yeah.
Can't you list your dogs as dependents?
I wish. Oh, my God.
Because they are clearly dependent on you to live.
Yes. That should be a write-off, the amount of surgery Franklin has had last year.
No, I Googled that. That's one of the quickest ways to get your shit red flagged is claiming medical expenses for a dog. So, yeah, I tried. Every shady tactic to get out of paying this money that I clearly owe, I'm going to try. So look forward to our episode in a few months. Joe gets an audit. Anyway, taxes are not metal in the least bit, but other things that happen in metal, like, did you guys hear about any news stories this week? I feel like it's been a little quiet. Nothing really happened, right?
That's true. Well, goodbye, really. Everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Subscribe and
see you next week.
Smash that like button.
Be sure to subscribe. Leave a comment below.
Down below.
Your taco fell in the deep fryer. I'll get it. there's a band that's come up a few times, had a little bit of controversy here and there, you know, freaking out the squares and whatnot. They might have done it again, you know, offended our sensitive sensibilities. Who is that band? Who is that guy? What happened?
The Inquisition, what a show, the Inquisition. Yeah, Inquisition.
Nobody expects Dagon from Inquisition.
Yeah, Dagon, that dude. I woke up Friday morning and, like, I had gotten several messages on Facebook and Twitter of people like, oh shit, dude, this is about to pop off. And I was excited. I was very excited by what came. Metal Sucks, those dudes, they did actually a really well put together investigative piece.
They did.
Yeah, journalism with a capital J on that one.
Yeah, like, we like to be snarky about those guys, but I read the piece. I was like, oh, that is actually well documented. You did your research.
Core documents and everything.
At some point, I guess the first thing that happened was that Seasons of Mist announced that they would no longer be working with Inquisition and there will be no further statement. And you can't just throw out that bit of caviar to a rabid metal audience and be like, without further explanation. They everybody craves it. So there were rumors, people talking shit, and then finally Metal Sucks put out their piece reporting that Dagon had been, he'd pled guilty to child pornography charges back in 2009. I think that originated back in, like, the whole thing started, like, in 2006. Like, this dude apparently has had a history of trying to, like, catfish young girls into, like, giving up nudes and shit like that. Like, super scumbag shit. Like, wow. And so the cops were involved. They found a bunch of child porn on his computer. He somehow pled down to avoid getting what is that tag that people sexual offender the thing that
like
you?
A sexual predator like status, I don't know. I know what you're trying to say, but I don't know it either. I forgot it in the exact moment you did.
That rules. Anyway, that was enough for Seasons of Mist. A a label that has bands on their roster like Destroyer 666 and Shining. Really, really cool, cool acts that don't have any shadiness attached to them at all. And Jordan, do you recall the previous allegations against Inquisition?
Well, about maybe a year or two ago, there were allegations against Inquisition for being Nazis. And stories came out of them taking a picture with a flag with a swastika on it that showed up in a magazine. Dagon had a side project that was 88 millimeter. And for those that somehow still don't know, 88 is oftentimes put in for HH or Heil Hitler. And I think the project had a song, I believe it was a song called something like 14 shower heads and one gas tight door. Yeah. I think he contributed a song to an anti-Semitic compilation. There's a whole bunch of things about the band, and you know, the way black metal works now, especially on the internet, is that people will blow it off, and they're still blowing this off, which is amazing.
Some people are, and some people are finally like, okay, that's a bridge too far. And it's funny to me to see the words actually come out in their own words, like the Nazi allegations. I can look past that, but Kitty Diddlin, that's too much for me. Yeah, no, Nazis, fine, doesn't bother me. And I would like to ask those people to consider why. This is the thing that bothers you when previously you were willing to overlook outright fascist connections, things that lead to, you know, the demonization and murder of people. Because I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, oh, actually, the child predation thing, not that bad. It's terrible. We all have a physical revulsion to it. I mean, that's kind of what makes this such a universally, like, low thing. That's why sexual offenders get murdered in prison, you know?
For sure.
It's you're the lowest of the low.
Yeah, and it's like I'm amazed that they don't have the same physical revulsion about everything else that's true about him.
Because it doesn't affect them, that's why.
Right. It's like this we should have drawn the line a long time ago, you know.
Yeah. And
to come up as like Jesus Christ.
I would take it a step further. For some people, it doesn't affect them, and for some people, they tacitly endorse this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
But looking around the Seasons of Mist roster, in addition to, you know, Destroyer 666 and Shining, two bands that are, you know, pretty outright fashy, you've got like Drudg, band that previously. Shares member with Hate Forest.
Hate Forest, yep.
Yeah, just Bash. You also have Deathspell Omega, which if you guys don't know about Deathspell Omega, and I guess a lot of people don't, is that Miko, the vocalist of that band, is one of the biggest creeps I've ever heard of. In addition to his other side projects like Clandestine Blaze, which is outright Fash, he also does a noise project called, I believe it's called Nicole 12, which is the theme of it is child porn, and like abusing children. The guy has had his hands in all manner of like really nasty quasi-legal, pornography, over the years, and just overall is about the biggest cootie I can think of. But he's got a proud roster spot on Seasons of Mist still. Whereas Inquisition no longer have that. So, you know, thinking face emoji, that's all I got to say about that. if you ever looked at the Seasons of Mist roster, it's funny because, like, you've got, you know, a lot of bands that, like, just are kind of universally loved or whatever. They've got Mayhem on there for some reason. They've got... In addition to like these really shady acts, they've got Archspire, the Nintendo tech death band, and then out of nowhere, Sarah Longfield, who is the YouTube guitarist. Like, I don't know if
Oh my God, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She plays wow. like a 9-string fan fret.
Yeah, she's got the, she's got an 8-string Steinberg guitar that's like very yeah. rainbow and colorful. And she's like a super just regular progressive kind of millennial gal. And there isn't a single wrong thing with her. Just I'm yeah. amazed that like this, that's a fact. I had no idea. That's crazy. I'm only finding this out today.
It's kind of funny. I don't know. There's a bunch of acts that I like on Seasons of Mist, but given my personal dealings with the guy behind it, I'll take or leave all of this shit.
oh, really?
It's not a coincidence that like this dude has a lot of edgy acts on here. I mean, he's got a lot of normie shit. I say that derisively. Normie shit, like in bands that are good and also have nothing offensive about them.
Normies.
I'd like to clarify that, like Cannabis Corpse, Misery Index, Ken Mode, shit like that. Like, those are all cool bands and stuff. Sure. But yeah, when the Destroyer 666 thing was going on, when KK Warslut, his real name, Keith Warslut, had doxed Vince from Metal Sucks and had basically sent his army of chuds to threaten his family. I reached out to Seasons of Mist label owner for comment on that, and he replied with the YouTube video for Ice-T's, or sorry, Body Count's Talk Shit, Get Shot, offering his complete endorsement of Keith Keith's methods there.
Keith.
So,
wow.
Really, what a cool label. What a cool, cool guy.
Awesome dude.
So, good on him. But yeah, getting caught with child porn a decade prior and then getting that on blast is apparently too embarrassing for this guy that is just buddy-buddy with all of these outright fash dudes.
Well, not embarrassing, it's just bad for business.
Yeah. What is it about that that makes Nazism good for business?
Because people will lie to themselves and say you separate the art from the artist, and they'll buy the albums regardless.
My challenge here is because a lot of people really, really dig Inquisition, or at least they did before.
For Riot. Some reason.
Yeah.
It's not for me. I don't care. Whatever. A lot of people like that band. I don't get it. I want you to ask yourself what changed between the years prior to this and Friday. Like, will you keep listening to that band or will you not? And what changed for you personally? And then maybe consider how that affects your attitudes towards the rest of metal.
Rest of music, really.
I made jokes about this on the shirt stains thing. I jokingly tossing in Gary Glitter t-shirts and Lost Prophets t-shirts and then Pete Townsend shirts into the mix.
You could have done a lot more because there's a long history of that going on, especially in just regular rock music, like your Ted Nugent's and your Steven Tyler's.
Yeah, the 70s were like really kind of free sex sort of decade, and lots of shady shit happened with a lot of big name people.
And it is mind-boggling to me. And a lot of times we don't think about it at all. Like when I hear a song by The Who, like if Eminence Front comes on, I'm just like, hey, that's a stone cold jam. I don't think, oh yeah, Pete Townsend, massive fucking creep, had a bunch of child porn.
Yeah,
and got away with it too.
He got away with it. Yeah, he keeps offering up more bizarre explanations for what happened. At one point, he claimed he was doing research into child porn being prevalent among the banking industry.
He was writing a book. He was doing a documentary. And it's just like, when is any of this coming out?
The answer is never. But I when I was thinking about like what things to include there, and Gary Glitter is a punchline, That guy was a fucking monster. He's still alive and still, like, abusing children in Thailand. Like, yeah. he deserves a bullet in the face.
And people still sing his one hit at sporting events whenever their team scores.
Oh, my God. That's who I thought.
Hey.
Yep. I fucking... That's what I thought that was. I couldn't remember what Gary Glitter did. I know he had the one stupid hit, but I couldn't remember exactly what it was.
Rock and Roll Part 2.
I always mix that up with Tarzan Boy, which is such a solid jam.
Tarzan Boy, completely unproblematic. Right. As a matter of fact, solid jam.
we should fucking replace the Gary Glitter trash with Tarzan Boy at sporting events.
Normally we play a metal song at the end of the show, but I think I'm going to play a metal song and then Tarzan Boy.
At least a clip. Yeah. Give us something.
Yeah, I love that song. Yeah. I found when I was looking, like trying to decide which scumbags out of, you know, God, hundreds of scumbags to put on the shirt stains thing, I came across this article put together by Megan Murphy 2 years ago about some of the biggest icons in music and basically how they've been allowed to cast off all of these horrific things that they did and be seen as like shining musical idols, you know? This is kind of I don't think Inquisition is going to survive this. I think the band is done. I think Dagon is probably going to disappear. Because I don't think that they're going to survive this, because they're not good enough. Like they haven't. Everybody knows what happened now. Everybody that was a fan of their music knows what happened now, and they with a lot of this stuff in the past, it just didn't get that coverage, where a lot of these people did things and it was swept under the rug for years. You know, if ever it came out, you know. So, I don't know. Do you think that the last?
It's interesting because you got Dagon coming out and saying, like, pretty much denying everything. He said, yeah, I got charged with this stuff. But you'll see in the evidence that none of that is true and none of it happened. And I'm completely innocent of all charges. And I had to enter a plea deal at the advice of my defense lawyer in order to just get this shit cleared away kind of statement he made. But then he said, like, in 2007, I did some really dumb things.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, so it's all fucking true? Like, what are you trying to say? or at least at some level it's true. Probably what you're saying is, you know, he was doing the creepy shit with young girls and the charges against him he didn't necessarily agree with, but they were probably valid. So
there's a difference between I didn't do this thing and I don't agree with getting punished for doing this thing.
Exactly. Yeah, right. It's like you're going to get people who will read that statement, who just will side with the band no matter what, and will that'll be enough for them. They'll see the statement, they'll see what he said, and they'll say, oh, okay, sure, so he is innocent, and Metal Sucks is just doing their usual fucking thing where they're just throwing people under the bus with as little evidence as possible in order to get clicks because money and et cetera. But will the band actually survive past this? I don't know. I don't know if the support is there anymore.
Yeah, I enjoy literally every post that Metal Sucks puts out. Half the comments are like, you fucking suck. I can't wait till you fucking die. This is bullshit. This isn't even journalism. And they still came out and said that, even though this is clearly like an actual research journalistic piece.
Yeah, it's very thorough. It's like very Associated Press, like good journalism.
They didn't even do their normal thing of like, you know, throwing in their snarky commentary saying like this guy's a pedo. It was just very cut and dry. So
right.
Fucking A. Anyway, like I was looking at this this thing, and we've briefly talked about this on another show, but we've done so many shows that I can't remember which one. So I figured maybe we could cover some of the other icons of music that have done horrific, horrible things and somehow got away with it.
Yeah.
In the spirit of boys will be boys in metal and rock and roll and every other genre, I guess. Fuck.
Well, let's knock off a few right off the top. We got Jimmy Page. So yeah. You could have very easily put a fucking Led Zeppelin shirt on that shirt stands and it would have applied very well.
Here's why it wouldn't, though, is because a normal person is reading this like Led Zeppelin. I don't get it. But Jimmy Page, a still alive, still celebrated musician, horrific
sure.
fucking scumbag.
Yeah, absolutely. Then of course you got David.
Jimmy Page. We need to be more upfront. He kidnapped a 14-year-old and raped her. And that's just one instance of a thing that was actually like known about him. Given his reputation of other bad things that he's done, like who knows what the guy was actually up to.
100% true. The guy that created the heavy metal riff is like the worst scumbag of all time. Then of course you got David Bowie, who had, I think the backlash was, it was interesting because the backlash was more post-mortem for him. Because people just all of a sudden, as the outpouring of grief kind of came about for his death, you had people bringing up a certain documentary regarding groupies where this woman was talking about how she had this very loving, very wonderful sexual experience with David Bowie. But if you do the math, she was like, I don't know, 14, 15, maybe even 13 at the time when it happened.
Yeah, I think she said she was 13.
Yeah.
Just gross as hell.
Right. And of course, the guy's probably strung out on all sorts of drugs at the time, and God knows people aren't checking cards back then, but I mean, come on, that doesn't excuse that sort of behavior. Unfortunate. But
STIs didn't exist back then.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
The Rolling Stones' Bill Wyman dated a 13-year-old when he was 47.
Yeah.
That's gross as fuck, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Chuck Berry, the one of the inventors of rock and roll, man, we could do an entire show just about how fucking gross that guy was. He was convicted of transporting a 14-year-old girl, 14-year-old indigenous girl across state lines for sex. He also owned a restaurant for the sole purpose of filming women and little girls while they used the bathroom. Which is
Jesus Christ,
man, just extremely, extremely gross. Iggy Pop, I did not know this. He fucked a 13-year-old when he was, world famous adult musician. What the fuck, dude?
What about the true greats like Ronnie Radke?
Ronnie Radke punching a girl at a Six Flags.
Or texting and whoever. That was him, right?
Here's one that I hadn't heard, and which is shocking because I hate this band so much. I should have looked into it. At 27, Steven Tyler convinced 14-year-old Julia Holcomb's mother to sign over guardian rights to him so he could take her across state lines with him while he was on tour. Of her relationship with Tyler, Holcomb said, "I was subordinate to him as an apparent relationship and felt I had little control over my life." She also pointed out that Tyler referred to her as "my little oral Annie" in his memoir. Yeah.
Pervon!
And of course, Steven Tyler, not the only one to do that. Our favorite Detroit City Wild man, Ted Nugent, did the same exact shit.
Yeah.
Ted Nugent, unrepentant piece of shit.
So it was a collaboration with Steven Tyler, even though he didn't know it.
So great.
I just, and a lot of Inquisition fans have been kind of coming out to kind of bring it full circle and saying this sort of shit about all these different major groups. Like, they'll say, oh, you'll give Dagon all this shit, but then you guys will go ahead and pop your Led Zeppelin record in like nothing ever fucking happened. But it's like, I'm over here and I am just very proudly just maintaining my seat on my high horse because I don't really listen to any of this stuff. So.
Yeah,
I know I probably should as a rock fan, but I just kind of don't. It's easy loss.
It all goes back to, I think, this culture that we've created of the musician, of the rock star, where we've elevated this guy, where we're celebrating him for being a colossal piece of shit for, you know, destroying things and for fucking a lot of young girls and, like, partying and basically engaging in behavior that is abhorrent to everybody else in society. But we give it a pass because the guy has a guitar. And that's just such a pervasive, toxic ideology that seeps into, like, everyone.
For sure, man.
We can push this aside. I know when I was younger, I thought that kind of shit was okay, too. I never engaged in any of this because, number one, it's gross. Number two, I probably never had the opportunity to.
Right. Plus, when you were younger, you were 14, and 14-year-old girls were cute, so you didn't get it.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
I really
so,
hope people don't edit that little pit.
Sure. Right. There you go. But, I mean, I think probably a bigger point to all of this is that their music had such a huge impact, and the music is so is such the focal point on their careers that a lot of the stuff most people are just ignorant to. If you ask 1,000 people if they've heard of Jimmy Page, they would all say yes. But if you asked 1,000, those same 1,000 people, have you heard about what a piece of shit he was? I guarantee you the majority would probably say no, just because his legacy is so massive and it overshadows any wrong he ever did. Same thing with just about every other person we mentioned in this lineup.
Is it about time that there's just a website that, like, is this person a piece of shit.com?
Yeah.
Look up David Bowie and it's just, oh, here's an article. Oh, yeah. Here's this. And, you know, without any opinion, just here's this thing. Like, I don't know what kind of legal gray area you operate in, but it seems like we have all this information out there on the internet in different places. Maybe just a one-stop shop just so people know about this is kind of now the time is to do it.
Right. And God knows,
sorry, buddy, go ahead.
No, that's good. And I'm sure God knows if you really put a magnifying glass over some guys that were closer to metal, you'd find all sorts of terrible shit, even on our, like, best and brightest. Ozzy Osbourne, for sure. I'm sure he's had plenty of people he shouldn't have had. Lemmy Kilmister, you know, the guy had sex with a billion women. I'm sure some of them were underage or he was creepy to those underage. It's just
Ozzy tried to kill Sharon in 1989.
Oh yeah, but that I don't disagree with that. I just disagree with that.
Wow.
Sorry, Sharon.
Don't ever fucking edit that out. I promise it better be here when I listen to the show on Wednesday.
That's what we're leading the show with.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. No, I think that you have to assume just because of the way that these power structures are built up in the entertainment industry is that you're rewarded with this control that you can use just to dominate other people.
Oh, and absolutely. People
underneath you, they have no recourse. That's really it's incredibly pernicious, number one, but it's really enticing to a certain kind of person who is looking for that.
Absolutely. And you're seeing a lot of that in kind of the Hollywood side of the Me Too movement, with guys going down. Harvey Weinstein the most, but Louis C.K., that was a big fall for him. The guy has essentially no career left. Just a lot of these guys that were using that fame and that power over women because they thought they could, and they just felt entitled to whatever they wanted to do.
You don't even have to be a mega fucking billionaire like Weinstein or anything.
No.
It goes down to, like, metal dudes that have a following of a couple thousand people.
For sure, man. It's like once you have that kind of fandom dynamic at play, it really kind of messes up with how this shit works. So I don't know. It's just kind of it's fucked all around.
I have an idea for that website, Jordan. Like, is this person a fucking scumbag? Mm-hmm. It's going to be really easy to code because you'll go to it and it'll just ask you, is this person Danny DeVito? If the answer is no, then the answer is yes, probably a scumbag.
Right. There you go. Not Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito is the only shining good boy in all of entertainment.
I think the website already exists and it's called Google.
Yeah.
Just put in any man's name and you'll find it on the first page. We're all terrible. None of us are innocent.
Going back to Inquisition, they haven't been kicked off Maryland Death Fest yet.
They haven't. It's bound to happen, though, very soon.
I expect it to. In the past years, I know they kicked Dizma off, who just had, like, stuff come out about Nazism, but apparently it wasn't a problem with Inquisition. But they also updated their list and Bolzer is playing. So kick one Nazi off, get another one on.
To be, that's a whole can of worms. I don't know if I want. It's tough when I like a band.
Yeah.
And this is what it all get. This is what it all goes back to. Like, yeah. we can't let go of like this fandom aspect. Like, willing to excuse things. All right, I feel like a real heel here. Do we want to read some comments? Because I feel like we ought to.
Yeah, let's do it.
That'll make us all feel better.
Okay. Why don't I start off?
Okay.
With the my favorite one so far was tweeted by a good friend of ours. It's Leif Bergson, right? It's just pronounced Leif.
Yep. Our good boy Leif.
Our good boy Leif. He screenshot probably one of my
the only other non problematic man in metal.
The only other non problematic man in existence. So this was a screen cap he got from, I think it was on Facebook. Yeah, it was Facebook. And it's a name in a language I can't read or pronounce, so I won't even bother. But he says, I am 100% against pedophilia and everything related to such acts. But this is black metal. But this is black metal. It should be offensive. It must be standing or balancing at the edge of any kind of extremism. Dagon and his vessel, Inquisition, is a wagon towards the apocalypse, towards the D-Day of humankind. Anything else is completely indifferent to me. So, all of you, quote-unquote, flower-hearted, who can't stand extremism in all of its forms, disembark the black metal battleship. Total support to Dagon and Inquisition. And notably, there's a lot of, like, laughter reactions on this video.
That's the thing that it's fun to see. Like, somebody says something in relation to something horrible that most likely a Nazi has done, and then it's followed up with total support to this Nazi band. You can count on it. That's like a catchphrase of a fucking fascist.
Are you people surprised? Black metal is evil. Didn't you know? Fucking chuds.
That's a pretty spicy hot take. I like it.
Pretty zesty.
Black metal is evil, therefore you should support things that are evil. So I guess if you like hit this guy's mom with a car or something, like, that would be pretty evil. Like,
give her syphilis. Do them both a favor.
Yeah. I like that. So if you guys find that guy, you know, I don't know, kick his dog or something. No, yeah. I can't get behind that. That wedgie. Dog doesn't know any better. Wedgie him. That's evil.
Yeah. Just give him an atomic wedgie. And if he says, like, no, don't atomic wedgie me, be like, hey, man, we're on the wagon towards the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Satan told me to wedgie. Poser. It's completely indifferent to me, flower heart.
Jordan, did you see anything particularly zesty?
I saw some fun ones on the Maryland Death Fest page on their post saying, like, you know, before this post turns into whatever, people talking about an Inquisition, we'll address it later. And of course, being the internet, you know, people went nuts over it. And I'll read a couple from this one guy. And because Facebook is a public forum, I'll say his name, Kevin's Liver. At first he posted, don't cancel Inquisition. Fine. Okay, whatever. Then he responded right after that with, fuck the bullshit, Inquisition is amazing live, and that's what this festival is supposed to be about. Further down, Metal Sucks is working with Antifa, for sure. The way the pansies act, 10 years is a long fucking time to bring up and destroy their career, and just like they did to Kevin Spacey, he flirted with a 17-year guy at a party he wasn't supposed to be at. This shit is getting thrown out of proportion, and the information is one-sided. I hate this because I'm almost sure they're going to cancel Inquisition for the pansies and misinformed, and they're one of the reasons it was going to be amazing. I saw them, and it was amazing. Oh, tight. I got one more. It's fucking black metal extreme music if you're too wrong too, by the way. If you're too soft for it, maybe you should take your Bring Me the Horizon posters and fuck off. Don't listen to music if you don't like it. Just spout your opinion to people who share your beta views on music. And there is not one period or comma in all of that.
Great. So he wants me to come bring my Bring Me the Horizon posters, but then he wants me to fuck off immediately. That seems kind of inefficient. I'm going back and forth here.
Yes, he's a land of contradictions.
But that's the one I focus on.
I was actually pretty shocked and dismayed to see how many women were commenting saying that, like, child porn is not the same as actually fucking a child, so it's not as bad. It's like, well, you know that there's still a victim in both of these. Like, it's still somebody actually, like, getting their life forever altered and coming, like, it's really difficult to even come back and have a normal life after all that shit, so...
Yeah,
that's like the I didn't kill someone, the bullet killed someone way of thinking.
I mean,
it is interesting that what took Inquisition down wasn't the Nazism, it was the pedophilia stuff. It's like the Al Capone way of taking someone out. You don't get them for murder, you get them for tax evasion.
I would go off on a limb here and say that supporting and looking at child pornography is the same line of thinking as buying NSBM but not really being a Nazi.
It's tough to argue with that, man. And people have given me shit, and Jordan, I know they've given you shit for years for, like, taking this kind of hard line with this shit. I don't support fascism in any way, shape, or form, and that includes, like, the genre that we spend our time listening to and talking about.
A hard line. You have to.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you don't take a hard line, they're going to just stomp all over you.
And there's going to be more. There's going to be more bands that do the same thing. There's going to be more labels, and there's going to be more people saying, like, yeah, all right, yeah, I'm into this.
Well, I'm interested to see where this goes. Because Young and In the Way had it right. When they got publicly on blast a couple weeks ago about trying to assault a couple of women, they were like, well, our band is done. We are no longer a band. To be honest, Inquisition should probably do the same thing.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from the other member of Inquisition at some point about his take on all of this.
Let's get him on the show. Wait, no. let's make him talk to somebody else.
Let's not do that. So I actually found the lady you're probably referencing.
Well, I saw a couple, but go ahead and shout this one.
Well, this one was tweeted by it was Richard Weeks, Pope Richard, a guy I follow on Twitter. It's this woman named Alicia Kay, and she said, "I support Inquisition fully. Looking at pics is hardly the same as fucking a child. Stop the fucking SJW witch hunt. It's so played out." Wow.
Fucking SJW is always trying to stop children from being abused.
Yeah, thanks. Well, if that's what an SJW witch hunt is, you know, hand me a fucking pitchfork. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, man. Ridiculous.
Idiot.
Well... do we have anything else that we can possibly say about this, or should we maybe try to talk about a different topic?
I don't know. I think everything's kind of already been said. I think that the right thing's going to happen. I think Inquisition is going to essentially lose everything over this. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth anyway, because, you know, God, what an unfortunate reality we have to live in where people consume that kind of fucking awful garbage. But at the same time, Inquisition should have been brought down years ago. They should have never come this far, and the fact that it took this is just, like, you know, I don't know. We got to get to a point where the kind of shit they were doing anyway is enough. You know, if this is the line you drew for Inquisition, like, seriously evaluate yourself, fucking seriously.
I think we need to dismantle the structures that allow people in powerful positions to exploit the people beneath them, because it's so common. It's happened all throughout history. One thing I think that is good that is happening is basically the internet now, we're all in tune and we're all able to get the shit out when it happens. and you're able to make number one, the artist is forced to reckon, you know, maybe not the full consequences of this horrible thing that they did, but they have to reckon with at least people being aware of their dirty business. So
yeah, certainly
that's at least a positive moving in that direction. You know?
Yeah, if you're just generally a shitty person, eventually you're going to be shitty enough that everyone will leave you. You know, so we saw that same kind of shit with guys like Milo Yiannopoulos. We're probably going to see it with the chuds that run InfoWars. I forget their names at the top of my head, but it's just like, you know, if you're an awful person, eventually you're going to be awful enough one day. You know,
Roger, was it Roger from Fox News? Roger Ailes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of this shit came out about his, you know, 50 plus years of being a disgusting abuser. And then, like, he was forced to resign and then he died like a week later. And that rules. it rules to, like, have your shit. Same thing with Joe Paterno. Like, suddenly everything comes to light and you die. And that's the way it should go.
But then there's also the suffering and living in shame for 25, 30 years, which is also nice. But
that's fair.
It's not always a guarantee. Sometimes, like Bill O'Reilly still finds ways to make money. So
Bill O'Reilly is living his best life as the most divorced dad ever on Twitter. He's like, here's a pro tip. Make sure you buy a shirt a size up from what you think you need, because these shirts these days, they just don't fit the same. It's like you're just getting fatter and shittier and, like, dying. So
fatter and shittier and dying. I think that's just the plague of the human race. That's the new Crotch Monster album title.
Sick.
Love it. All right. In brief, let's hit up some other news, because I feel like we've given Inquisition more time than they probably deserved ever. Okay. So, Jordan, you pointed out a couple of news stories to me. Which one do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about how Metallica slimed their way to the top of the Billboard charts for the second time.
Love it. What, those guys are crafty like a fox. What happened here?
So they took their latest album, Hardwired to Sane Anger Destruct, and they bundled it with their ticket sales. So if you buy whatever the scheme was, two tickets, one ticket, whatever it is, to see Metallica live, you also get the album. And getting the album gets scanned for Billboard, essentially, to count as a sale. So they announced their big tour for the year. Everyone goes nuts and buys tickets, and they get a free album with it, essentially. But the way Billboard works is, oh, look, this album's huge again. So it's a nice little scheme they have going on for them.
Give them sound scan numbers. That's
whatever that means nowadays.
I don't know if it. You'll show up like in if you're the kind of person who buys music digitally, of which there may be like, I don't know, a couple hundred left. It puts you face to face on the charts with the music consuming public, which helps. It also helps, I guess, get your name out there even further. I know that Metallica probably has a press problem and that nobody talks about them enough.
Yeah.
But it is a feather in your cap to say, like, oh, our album that came out 2 years ago, it's on the charts again.
And it helps to get that coveted gold, platinum. It just pushes you up a couple extra 50 or 60,000. So eventually you'll get it.
Yeah. Coming for platinum plaque.
I'm sure Metallica, like the guys themselves, had nothing to do with this scheme. This is probably they're very clever handlers of some kind, whether we call them PR or managers or otherwise. But yeah, it's kind of ingenious, if not like insidious and strange. But like, I don't know, might be a good idea for some smaller name bands to get in on this kind of fucking action.
Yeah, make it a double album while you're at it, so it counts twice.
There you go.
Ooh, smart. No, but absolutely, other bands should be doing this, like, because they're not getting a physical copy. It's not like it's costing them money to, like, you know, create the product and ship it. It's just an immediate digital download. Shit's free, dog. Like,
yeah.
Boost, I mean, you might cost a couple extra dollars on your Squarespace or whatever.
I think next time Megadeth sells tickets, they should attach a digital copy of every single album they ever put out.
Risk.
You joke about that, but I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I think that's a great idea.
Coming in at number one, risk. Coming in at number two. I think the problem with that is for certain bands, they're on different labels and they have different, you know, contracts and distribution, right? So there's some issues with it. But essentially, I think it's a good idea, if a little shady.
Well, what isn't a little shady, huh? Smart
the
smart
desert.
No, good idea. Good idea. Let's, I don't know, maybe when somebody downloads this latest episode, they'll download all 111 other episodes immediately, too. I'm sure that people would love to get several gigabytes of us all downloaded to their phone at once.
Well, that's like there was this band on Spotify that told their fans to listen while they sleep and just like put it on repeat, and they ended up shooting up the top of the Spotify charts and making a good chunk of money because of
it. They made like 30 grand. It wasn't a ton of money, but it was like a lot for Spotify.
More than they ever would have made.
Sure, for sure.
I think, great idea. Also, I mean, unfortunately, Spotify got wise to all that stuff. So
yeah, you can't do it anymore.
Man, I'm trying to get smarter about like the business of music, and because Spotify is looking for an IPO right now, and it's just it is pretty dismal considering all this pending litigation against them for unpaid royalties. Like, it's gonna be a bloodbath.
Yeah, man.
But I mean, when your entire service is the work of other artists, I mean, you should probably be paying out. We've all seen like people get checks for like 12 cents for however many thousand listens of their album. It's for sure, it's pretty sad.
Yeah, I just we sort of live in this age of free music entitlement, and it's just the result of I mean, we could say it's the result of Napster, but you put something up like Spotify, you work it in a way that it's legal. And then you got millions of artists just getting screwed on the regular for a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money they put into their craft. And they have supporters, like they have millions of people who listen to their music and think they're doing the right thing. Like, you know, like for instance, my wife and I, we got we paid the $10. We have Spotify Premium. I guess if you get Spotify Premium, it gives them a little more dough if you listen to their songs, but really nothing substantial. And Spotify pretty much just gets the majority of it.
Yeah, so it's, man, we are in such a quagmire in every conceivable way with music. We got to bring down the structures that allow all the money and power to flow to the top. But we also have to make sure that artists aren't held unaccountable for their actions when they become popular.
Yeah, that too. I just,
And in the meantime, nobody buys records, so nobody's making money off of these things to begin with.
I don't know.
I think the answer is don't start a band.
And definitely don't start a podcast about bands.
No, even worse.
Anyway, we had one other news item that I thought would be fun to get to. Jordan, you pointed this one out too, I believe.
Why don't you remind me about what I pointed out?
Well, I mean, there's that fella that we've mentioned a few times that has, he's famous for his, D&D games.
Hold up. I pointed that out. I know what happened here.
Yeah, give credit to the correct co-host.
Yeah, I brought this up. That's okay.
Breno.
It's all right. It happens. You got two dudes, you got a 50-50 chance. You got to go for it.
There's only about a foot different between us in height.
Right. Don't get us started on weight either.
Right. It's okay though. Like I've watched a lot of Butterbean matches, so you can never tell what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I got one good punch, and if I miss it, Jordan's gonna flatten me. So, all right. So what happened was allegedly Varg Vikernes. He claims, and this is interesting because it brings us back
pronounced
to
Varge, I believe.
Oh yeah, Varge. It's pronounced Christine. So Christina Vikernes. It brings us back to our making money in the biz conversation. Allegedly, he was offered £300,000, which is roughly $425,000 American dollars, to play two shows in London. He said this happened a couple of years ago, but he turned it down because he doesn't care about money, and he had a lot of things to say about live music in general. He's saying, end quote, "To me, playing live is not something attractive. It would have been a sacrifice too large for me because I don't like it. I don't want to. I don't want to spend time away from my home and family to rehearse with some metalheads. I don't want to go to London. That's the last place in Europe I would want to be. London." And with that said, I think playing live is embarrassing, really. You have some narcissistic, egotistical, self-centered asshole on the stage who runs about and screams, "Me, me, 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 look at me." So yeah, he pretty much just took down the entire metal community with that one.
What it's worth, I agree with Varg Vikernes on one thing, and that playing live is embarrassing. I'd done a lot of shows over the year, and I never was able to get over my own crippling self-doubt and have a good time with it.
Well, I don't think that's what he means when he says playing live is embarrassing. He's saying, like, you know, these people are an embarrassment to the art. You know what I mean? Because this is a narcissistic, egotistical, self-centered asshole thing to do, is run around on stage and say, "Look at me." Like, that's what he means by embarrassing. He doesn't mean that, like, he suffers from anxiety, which he probably does.
He's shy.
Yeah. And, you know, although he really certainly doesn't mind embarrassing himself with these, like, weekly YouTube videos where he's doing karate kicks to the camera and stuff.
Oh, his karate moves are so cute.
Yeah. That's not embarrassing. That's not narcissistic, egotistical, or self-centered at all.
I guess let's break this all down. Number one, would he even be allowed to go to London? Like, is he legally allowed to go there?
I don't know what sort of charges, if he has any new charges against him, and because I think he lives in Germany now, right? He since moved from Norway to Germany.
I thought he was in France.
I thought he got kicked out of France.
Yeah, maybe.
I could be wrong.
Where he like lives on like he lives like on a farmland somewhere,
go ahead.
I don't think his like murder charge applies anymore. Like in Norway, you kind of do your time and then everything is dropped after like the maximum sentence of 25 years or something like that. Norway is very different when it comes to the prisons.
He's white, so he's free to move about, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. That too.
Sweet. I totally believe that someone offered him that much money to do those two shows. Jordan, you were saying that you don't believe that money would have actually ever come about.
No, like I said, I'm sure someone, some kid somewhere said, "I will give you this amount of money to play," either with no intention of ever actually having that money, or there's some sort of trust fund kid that just happens to have money lying around that they're free to use.
See, I think that if Burzum were to headline Maryland Death Fest, like, it would just sell out in about 10 seconds.
Without question.
That many fucking dorks out there that like cheesy synth music. So, I don't know. It's possible. I think that... What does he do to make money? How does he have money?
Well, I know he's into agriculture. I think he sells D&D games. I don't fucking know. He's
selling magic cards online.
Right. He says that in the statement, he says he makes enough money. But I have no idea what he does or what his job is, like what his hustle is at any point. He probably makes
a busker in town.
Yeah, he just wheels
out a Casio with like a little guitar case in front of him. And people tell us francs and euros in.
Oh, no, that's playing live, and Burzum doesn't do that.
But Varg might.
I think it would be hilarious if he accepted and he finally played live and he had a huge headlining show with, like, the big Burzum logo and everybody sold the place out and was freaking pumped to go see him. And then all he did was, like, his shitty Dungeons music with a keyboard.
That would be extremely funny.
Guys, you like good music? Let's find out.
Who is ready to have fun?
Be respectful. If somebody falls down, pick him up.
Your friends here.
Hey, stop that. Don't grab the girls. I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. I think it's really funny that his tagline is, "Let's find out," on all his YouTube videos, because it just reminds me of BoJack Horseman with the game show. That's like
celebrities. What? Who are they? What do they know?
Do they know things? Let's find out.
No, it almost seems like the tagline for like some like Bill Nye the Science Guy YouTube person.
That's what I was thinking, like Mr. Science.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we create a volcano out of baking soda? Yeah. Does it create mustard gas? Let's find out.
The Lillian perspective is equally entertaining. On a hilarious level, I'm not intrigued by anything he says. But watching his videos with like this little dinky music in the background, and he's in his truck with his fucking camouflage gear all of the time for whatever reason, and like showing his children how to dismantle and remantle guns. I don't know.
Yeah, the guy has money. The guy has enough money for like a lot of land and for like weird medieval toys and shit, and enough to like rear children. How does he have money? I don't get it.
Album sales, maybe.
Do you think that really Mayhem, or well, he's probably not getting any of the Mayhem dough.
No, I'm talking about it. I mean, he's put out albums recently, and I'm sure they sold very well for what they were. So I don't know, man. It's a good question. We'll have to look into it. We'll have to do our own very serious investigative journalism. Find some proof of employment at some places over in whatever unnamed German, or European, I meant to say, country he lives in. We got to find that out first. Where the hell is this guy?
Where does he live? How does he make his money? Is he a busker? Does he sell magic cards online? Let's find out.
Let's find out.
Sweet. I think that's all I got for this one, man. You guys have anything else you want to talk about?
I think we pretty much nipped this one in the bud.
Yeah, we're good.
Well, we
need to record our Patreon show soon. And I got this thing that I've just been thinking about an awful lot. And if it's okay with you guys, I'm going to make you go through a deep dive of the 1996 Telecommunications Act and how it destroyed rock music. If that's okay with you.
Sounds great.
I have been Joe. Who have you guys been?
This has been Brenticide, and that other guy has been 365 Days of Horror. The bro that we know is Jordan. Follow us at Joe Thrashing. All these things are on Twitter, by the way. Very important to know. You can't just go adding random things on the internet. It's on Twitter. Follow us at Joe Thrashing Kill for Joe, at 365 Days of Horror for Jordan, and at That's Not Metal for your boy Breno here. Be sure to subscribe to Patreon. Throw some buckos our way so that these buckos can stay your buckos. And as always, keep it so metal you can't even stand it.
Be good, everyone.
Bye.
forest monkey business on a sunny afternoon. Jungle lion, I'm living in the open. Made you big, that carries on. Burning bright, I spotted loads of signal through the sky. I sit and wonder, does the message get to you?
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.